That was just huge. Just huge. When you could, that's turn time. That's the second time. I wouldn't even bother with this last year because it was very good also. But that's the turn time.
You might think that's zero.
59:34. It's not second call. It's turn time. Second fraction all by itself. When you consider that 60 feet per second is a 22 quarter, right? 59:34 is flying around the turn. 22:1, roughly. Now that's the way you matched up. And the field matched up something like this. Say 59:80, 57:20, something like that. Okay? That's what he's doing to the pace of the race in the second round. And for all of you that have ever watched races, when some horse begins to gobble up the field on the far turn, that's really visually impressive, isn't it? What's discouraging is if you've got one of the horses being gobbled up. That is a strong, strong number. Just the whole idea of being able to handle and overtake the pace in that fraction is so strong. And horses that are doing it are, and handling the turn are sharp horses. Now there's a horse that runs around here called Olympic Prospect. He throws a 59 to a 60 at you every time he runs. That's where he accelerates. He's not the quickest horse on the grounds out of the gate. He's quick, but he's not the quickest. He'll run like 21.3, but then he'll throw a 22 flat quarter at you. But he just flies around the turn. It's visually exciting to watch him run. He just goes, draws away from him. But that's how you can get what you've seen and been impressed with at the racetrack. This is a closer that you really do want. You don't want one that says 57:24, 57:24, and then 55. Because the race is over by the time that 55 is catched, in most cases. This is a closer. This is a guy that picks it up on the turn. Anyway. And he paid $9.80 in that field. That's a good play. Add Mountain Ghost to your horses to watch list, because he was in it. Now I'm going to give you, I just have two more races. Right? I'm going to give you my favorite race. It's a total group yesterday. This is my favorite race in the last 6 months. This is page 8. And this is one I can tell you from honest truth that I've been cashing on this race ever since it was run. I didn't know it, but one of these horses ran at one yesterday, so we got to circle after two. Or not yesterday, but Friday. Well, I don't have him circled, I have him with a second. The Malibu Stakes was run opening day. And the pace of this race was a fast track, but not by a whole lot. But we use it raw. It was 22 flat, 44. It's a 7 furlong. And even the better horses often run 22-1, 44-3, 22, 44-3, because they tend to take it a little bit early, easy here, which they did. They very seldom hit 44. So the pressure between here and here in this Malibu Stakes was intense. It was really strong. When the San Carlos went on the line, looked like a cinch. When it was the only speed in the race, he ran a fraction like that. I'll share a story with you. I'll tell one of myself here. I had timed a friend, and I had several tickets starting with a long shot in the sixth race, paid $20 or $22, to a horse in the seventh race that paid $7 or $8. And I had multiple tickets live to on the line as a singleton in the future. And once we had cashed the long shot and the next one, my friend came to me, I never drink at the racetrack, he came to me and says, let's celebrate. And I'll never do it again. But like a complete ass, I said, you're on. He says, I'll buy you a glass of wine. I said, all right. So we went over to celebrate half an hour before the race was run. And I had a glass of wine, and they said, let me buy you one. So now I'm in the spirit, right? And I did that. Yeah, it really was. So we had a couple of glasses of wine, and then we sit down to watch the race in which we would cash a decent, even though he was a sharp price, he was like 2-5. But it was like a gift. I had, and I, like, again, like a jerk, I had referred to somebody else And I said, this is like a bingo card. You've got to free. You've got to give it. What is it, the center of the bingo card? I said, well, on the line, you've got to give it. All you have to do is get the other two. You got one. And so on the line, at seven furlongs, goes 22-2 to the quarter. And Gary Stevens has got a hold on him. He's just galloping down the backstretch. And we're excited. The minute they flash at 22-2, I tell you, that was a bad day because I said, we're home. And then he goes 44-3, which means that in that second fraction, he goes 22-1 after the 22-2. So now he's moving, right? Yeah. Except Cherokee Colony is gobbling him up. And even when they straightened out down the stretch, I really thought we would win because I figured Cherokee Colony was used. And he went right on by. That was the most embarrassing day in 2 years of relationship. Everybody there knew it. Quinn has told a story on me since then. And I will not live it down, so I'll tell it on myself now and I get more mileage from it. Anyway, this is the San Carlos Stakes. These were the best older sprinters around. These guys, in the Malibu, just turned four. This is still part of the Scroop Series. These horses are supposed to be, or not supposed to be, quite as mature as these. Now, granted, on the line slowed that down, but they didn't really move, right? So this is a kind of race, the Malibu. Now, let me show you what this turns out to be in 3%. How often have phase three users ever seen a race at 62? You tell me. I mean, I've seen races that wind up 60 at the second call by going 61-59, but I have never seen a 60-60 back-to-back. Now, let's go to the charts for just a moment. The first bet I made on this race, I did not win, although I got, the horse paid $9 and something twice. Speed Rag, always prominent after an alert start, bite for the lead around the far turn while four wide in a 22 quarter. Entered the stretch four wide and then kept to his task in the drive to gain the show. Now, his line actually was that he gained, I'm not going to bother with this, but I think he gained a length or two in that quarter. So he went like 21-3, 21-4, 4-1. Then he fell back according to the chart and came back on again to give me 3/4 length. That was a spectacular performance. And I, before we go any further, Mi Preferido outrun early, moved up to get within close range of the lead before going a half, then was boxed in around the far turn without losing any position on that 22 quarter, and then kept to his task through the drive and just missed the show. Now, when the next race came back, it was the San Fernando Stakes, and I made that race Speedratic, Mi Preferido, but there's no exactly the cash, and I bet Speedratic win in place. And it wound up a two-horse photo, and Mi Preferido was just a little more seasoned than he beat it by a head down the stretch. But they were both decent prices. One paid like 10, and the other was 10-1 on the board. Now, that was the first occurrence out of this race. So circle Mi Preferido and kind of give a half circle to Speed Rag. Now, the next horse, I think it was the next one, it might have been before these, but the next horse I bet out of this race was Prospector's Gamble. And I'm not, you can read this at home, but Prospector's Gamble was the pace setter under this pressure all the way and finally got beat a length and a half for everything. And he dropped into, I think a now what is it, three or something like that out of this race. And just ran right by him late. Guess what he paid? 15.80. Coming out of that particular race. Now, the whole point here is for you to understand the significance of this tandem. That it's so strong right here, that these horses coming out of there had to have been really sharp to perform it, and can be almost, at times, be bet blind. So circle Prospector's Gamble. Now drop down about four horses to no commitment. Circle him. He came out of this race, went up north and won his next start, and then in his next start, He finished second, 12 lengths in front of the third one. That's another circle on this race. Then the horse that we looked at earlier, Bosworth. He came out of this race somewhat later than the rest of them and paid $8 and something on his start, and won by four. Now, after the first one won, if you're doing that key race thing and circling your, you know, your charts, if you've got them, you circle them if you got them. If you're doing that, you begin to realize how strong that race was that coming out of it, and you start paying attention to it. Now, finally, the capper on it, the next start, Orabi tried the San Fernando Stakes, does not run well. Then they ship him back to Laurel, and he gets beaten the last strides by Little Bold John, who's their big horse back there. And then I found out yesterday, on Friday, he came here and won down the hill at 6.5 furlongs. Therefore, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 winners and one photo finish second at a big price have all come out of this race.
Who was the winner?
Orabi, the winner of this race, came back and won again.
You don't count them, it doesn't have to be the next race.
No. It depends on where they were. But I'm in the mood right now. Well, actually, I'm beyond that. I would have played a Robbie probably the other day unless it was some kind of a price. I don't know. But I would have been betting these horses. I advise to you, as you begin to accumulate this, just bet. If you're betting from another pocket, bet them out of that pocket. If you're betting it out of your bankroll, bet them out of your bankroll. Prospector's Gamble is certainly a good play out here. All right. One last race.
Yes.
Perceived Arrogance has run several really good races out of here and then ran poorly in the big cap. The horse that I've been kind of looking for, and I've lost him somewhere along the way, is Unzipped.
Okay.
But I don't know where he is. He came here from the Meadowlands. Maybe they took him back. All right. The last race, which is one of the best examples of turn time I've ever seen. Both of these are going to be in my book. In fact, they're already there. The book itself isn't put together, but these are there. This represents a play that not many people saw, because as I've mentioned before, I play with James Quinn, I play with Lee Russo. They're in the same box, right?
Hear that, Charlie?
Yeah, that's right. And these two guys are both very good handicappers. Jim is kind of tuned into turn time, and yet I don't think anybody, more than a handful of people out there, realize the significance of turn time. And so when this race came up, no one in my immediate acquaintance anyway was big on Overbrook. Now if you look at Overbrook at the bottom, here's a horse that's coming off of a last place finish into the same conditions, 9 winners and 3 in his next start. I want you to spend just a moment with Overbrook. This race is running 21-2. 43-4. Now, you don't need a variant or anything else to know that this pace is hot. How fast did they go the second quarter? 22-2. Now, read Overbrook. Overbrook vied for the lead for a little more than a half while 4 wide. And then actually got to the lead. And if you look at him, he was running fourth at the corner and all the way around the turn against the 22-2 quarter, this guy's 4 wide and is still in front when they hit the half mile. Now guess where he came back? In a 9 winners of 3 with no horse able to crack 22. The closest to him was a horse called Laguna Navy, who goes 22. Now is Overbrook, based on this race, a good play in a field like that? I'm serious now. I mean, please, everybody shake your head yes. Yeah, it made it even tougher to hold his own 4 wide after money track. Made it even tougher. That's even more significant. But the point is, next start, he's in against a field that can only go 22. The only one that can go 22 was a horse called Laguna Navy, who's a nice horse. But Overbrook can go 21-2 for what? Most of the people that are at the racetrack are looking at this race saying, well, here's a guy who finished last time, beating 7.5 lengths. Dead last. Well, was that performance dead last a good one or a bad one? was it bad? That's a marvelous performance. And this was the this is one of the plays you want to make every time in his next start. Guess what he paid? Take a guess. What do you think he should have paid, first of all? I'm going to really wrap this up with panache. What do you think he should have paid his next start?
15, 12,
17.
Well, what do you think he should have paid? I mean, being a term time analyst, for Christ's sake.
$5.65?
Yeah. He paid $11.60. 9-2 off of this race in a field that no one could be within three of at the quarter. Okay. Spend some time with third time. That's all I've got. I'll answer any questions for a few minutes. You first.
Let's say you've got your horse to watch list. You develop this horse to watch list based on how much faster than par these horses have run. Also, how much faster than, shall we say, a par turn time. Now, when you come to the actual path performance of these horses to run again, won't it be self-evident that this horse has done real well by looking at the past points? Do you need to make a list of that?
Well, I'm going to answer that with two horses. One of them is Prospector's Gamble. He's 1580. And the other one is Overgrowth, who pays 11.4.
I'm not saying self-evident to the public. I mean self-evident to us.
No, and I'll tell you why. The chart on Overgrowth said wide. That's all it said. Okay. The past performance line next time out shows him finishing 7th, 5.5 lengths, or 7.5 lengths, whatever it was. It says wide. Without reading the chart and paying attention to the chart, you have no idea how bad a trip he had. None at all.
But in past performances, you can get even frequent.
Yeah, but not everybody does.
Well, I'm talking about us.
No, I'm talking about me. I'm serious. If I don't spend the time with the chart, I'm liable quickly to overlook that. I get it. I'm the same as you to some extent, all of you, not you personally, but all of you. I'll get in here and I'll handicap a race and I'll put 5 horses in the computer after getting all my numbers, turn time, and do the race, right? And then I'll look at it and say, this horse came up on top, this one came up second, without ever fully realizing the significance of the performances some of them have run. I'm serious. That's the reason I go to the trouble. I guarantee you that you've been overlooking them, and you will. And not only you, me too.
Where would Crystal run, and what a diplomat running against such a terrific turn time. Why wouldn't they be the horses to watch here? They have that break between them, and it's 5 lengths in front of the third horse.
Yep. But see, they had the benefit of running down on the inside and forcing these other horses wide. See, Overbrook was trying to handle them from the outside against that pace.
Could you go over the class ladder and just give your insights into each class, what the pitfalls are for horses to watch, and some things that are overlooked. And
That one's a big question. I mean, as far as the class ladder is concerned, after you make an adjusted number and you compare it to the part-time chart, pretty much what you see is what you get. I would say that the step up from 10 to 12.5 is one of the most difficult of all, because the horses you beat at $10,000 by them all belong to 2,200 or 2,500. That's a tough step. The step from 25 into the 32-40 bracket is usually pretty tough. That's why when Rakaposhi makes that step, it's significant for Magnum Plus trying to make it. And that's another reason, but back to the question I was asked earlier, he's gone. Did I make him mad?
No. Oh, with the
no, oh okay.
That's so exciting.
But one of the reasons you do this is that you lose track of what happened to Rakaposhi. You lose track of what happened to some of these other horses that lend strength to the argument in the first place. The maiden to maiden to straight non-winners allowance races is tough. The step from a non-winners of 1 to a non-winners of 2 is very tough.
What's an easier move? What are the easier moves?
16 to 20. It's an easy move. That can take us a long time, so I won't really get into that. There were some other questions.
Mm-hmm.
us on that.
When's your book coming out?
It won't. It's not due until spring catalog of 1990. You know, of all the silly questions I've been asked in the last few minutes, that one's a good one. See me as soon as I finish speaking. I'll come to see you. No, I like that conference. You know how that started? I'm going to finish it. We don't need this on tape. The whole thing started as I had another one addressed to you. I don't know whether you heard me in there or not. Okay. What I was going to say is that, back to your question, the answer to that is you lose track of what happens in these key races, in like Rakaposhi. If you're not analyzing this, you lose track of the fact that he's got the 40 and then 50. When you go back to Magna Plus, you're going to need that data, unless you've got a very good memory, when you analyze Magna Plus next time. You'll have a good figure on it, but you won't have... Sometimes those figures can lie to you, too. But when you realize what Rakaposhi did out of that race, then you have full value of Magna Plus and stuff. But anyway, what I was going to say, this variant process we went through early, the reason I started making variants is that we had an entire variant class down here. And at the end of the class, people in the class asked me if I wouldn't mind doing it and sending it out to them monthly. But that's where all that started in the first place.
You did a very good job. Here's your prize.
Oh, look what I get, a disc.
Two discs. Oh. And here's an analysis of that horse that you... One of your horses this morning, with his average turn time.
Well, that's the one I wanted, yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
First fraction deviation, third, all that
stuff. Yes, Mr. Bowles.
That'll give you an idea of what you will get. You'll know so much more after you've done that.
Oh, I would be so much
for a class.
Oh. You sure me in there waiting for me?
Yeah.
All right. I'm going to
leave. We promised Tom and he could play. Thomas Collin, if he was a good boy, he'd get to go home with his wife early. That's why when Joe Bolger says, would you please describe class in about 2 minutes? Mr. Armstrong, could you describe Jazz?
Boy, if you got to ask, you ain't never going to know.
Boy,
yes. If you only learn to do something, you know, could you dance or something? Surely, can you teach Tom to tap dance?
Teach him to sing Summertime. What the hell?
Okay, we put Dick on as an anticlimax and Marion on as the last act, and it worked out very, very well. So I don't see why we shouldn't do that today. We're going to deviate from the subject just for a moment because we've got this pretty well. I think you all see that these three things dovetail together, do you not? This isn't one, and this isn't another, and this isn't the third way. They all say the same thing, don't they? They also say when a horse shows outstanding performance or capacities, and you can follow them.